This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good evening, I'm Caroline Oh, and you're listening to the Evening Edition. Our topic for tonight is eating insects. Yes, we're talking about beetles, worms, crickets, grasshoppers, and even butterflies and bees. Now, you might have tried insect delicacies, perhaps as street food or cultural cuisine during your travels. Eating bugs, which is also known as entomophagy, is common practice in many communities around the world, and you might be surprised to know that insects are eaten in 80% of the world's nations today, including Malaysia.
Insect eating is a very popular thing in places like Southeast Asia, Thailand and Vietnam, Cambodia, those countries, also in China. I'm just kind of going around the world here.
That celebrated chef, David George Gordon, he's also known as the Bug Chef or the Godfather of Insect Cuisine.
Australia, the native Aborigines of Australia have a long history of eating bugs. Mexico, you can go to Mexico City and actually go to a restaurant and order things like ant eggs or the chapulines and things like that. Central and South Africa have a long popular history of that. And I'm trying to think if I've left anyone out. Oh, of course, South America, Central America, you find places where people are harvesting ants and termites and things like that.
So David has been cooking insects since 1998, and he's the author of the Eat a Bug Cookbook, besides 18 other books on various animals, insects, and Bigfoot. Now, he's also appeared on talk shows like Conan O'Brien and The Late Late Show with James Corden to share his insect cuisine, beside hosting programs in universities and various locations, including the Smithsonian Institution, Ripley's Believe It or Not Museums, and the Singapore Food Fest. Now, the Bug Chef joins us tonight to share some recipes on how to for beginners and the benefits of entomophagy. So David, you're living in the US, and I can imagine that entomophagy would be so much more exotic an idea in the West compared with other places in the world, for example here in Southeast Asia. So what inspired you to start cooking and eating insects?
Yeah, you know, I got interested in this topic when I was working on another book that was about cockroaches. And in that book, I was writing about everything you could possibly want to know about cockroaches, and I discovered that there's a long history of using cockroaches both as food and for medicine. So that got me very interested, and I started looking more and more. I realized that cultures all around the world like to eat insects. For some reason, Europeans, and sort of by extension, people in the United States and Canada do not. But actually, they say about 80% of the world's cultures eat bugs. That got me really interested in that topic. Well, I started researching it, but I thought rather than proposing a very scholarly book on this, I'd try writing a cookbook and make it a little more fun. And that's pretty much how I got started.
Well, it certainly sounds like fun. And what was it like when you first experimented with eating bugs? I mean, was it difficult to get started?
You know, I did not have a problem with eating bugs. A lot of it, I think, has to do with the way people are raised. And in my family, we were exposed to lots of unusual foods. I mean, my parents taught me how to use chopsticks when I was 3. Now, that may not be that unusual for you, but it certainly was unusual for people living in the United States in 1950s. I've always been interested in unusual things, and I really like the idea that I was kind of pioneering a whole new way, at least for people in our culture.
Right, and it's clear to see that you're an advocate for eating bugs. Has it been an easy task to convince the people around you to try your dishes?
That's actually a very interesting question, because when I first started in the 90s, it was very difficult. I would go on a TV show, like I was on a bunch of Conan O'Brien type TV shows, and the host would not want to get anywhere near the cuisine. They'd oftentimes bring a cameraman or someone, a student intern out to try the dishes, even after we talked about it for some time. More recently, I'd say like in the last 5 or 6 years, it's really become a big deal. And the most recent TV appearances I've done, I've had the entire TV show, the host, the guests, even the band and the audience eating bugs. So the attitude has changed a lot over that 18-year period.
There's this report released in 2013 by the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization, which recommends people to explore eating bugs as nutritious and rather eco-friendly food source. Can you explain to us why insects would be a more environmentally sustainable food source compared with the kinds of meat that's regularly consumed, such as, say, chicken or beef?
You know, that Food and Agriculture Organization report, it's quite massive. It's 180-some pages of text. And they make a very good case for why people need to eat more and raise more bugs. And part of that reason is, as the population of our planet keeps growing, they say there's an estimated 1 billion people going to be added to our population over the next 40 years. In order to feed that many people, we can't rely on some of our regular conventional forms of meat, things like cows or chickens. A large reason for that is those animals are not very efficient at converting food. If you give 16 pounds of grain to a cow, you'll get 1 pound of meat back. So that's very wasteful, really. It also takes a lot of water, and water is probably one of our most precious resources on the planet right now. I've read that it takes about 2,000 gallons of water to get 1 pound of steak. That's amazing, really, and it's kind of shocking. I know lots of parts of the world where they could really use that water and also that food. So it only takes about 1 pound of food to get 1 pound of insects, or maybe 2 pounds, I think, in the case of grasshoppers and crickets. So that's way better than 16 to 1. That's just 2 to 1. And some insects don't even require water at all. I'm thinking of mealworms, for example, which are being bred commercially for all different purposes. And they don't really require water to drink at all in their lives. So that would be a great savings right there. The other thing that's amazing to me is that cattle produce a lot of what we call greenhouse gases. These are, in this case, methane and ammonium. And those gases go up into our upper atmosphere and they form a layer, kind of like the glass in a greenhouse. That's where they get this name, greenhouse gases. So the glass in a greenhouse lets heat through and light through, but it doesn't let the heat back out. And that's what that layer is doing. It's holding heat in and probably helping to drive some of the climate change that we're seeing now. They say if they stopped raising cattle and started raising grasshoppers instead, they could reduce those greenhouse gases by anywhere from 20 to 60%. That would be quite significant.
Yeah, 20 to 60% is quite significant. So, David, do you have a background in biology?
You know, I studied biology in college, and I've always had a very strong feeling about our role as stewards of this planet, taking care of the planet.
Right, and back to what you were saying about farming insects, in spite of its benefits, do you foresee any potential problems that it could bring?
You know, it's interesting. Right now, a very large portion of the world's population eats insects and other things that are harvested from the wild. In Mexico, for example, they have very small grasshoppers called chapulines. And I've seen these usually come from Oaxaca, Mexico, part of Mexico. They catch the grasshoppers, they roast them, and then they season them with salt and chili and lime. They're very tasty, but they're all wild caught. And I've seen enormous mounds of these for sale in markets in Oaxaca. Even in Los Angeles, I've seen sacks of them that have been brought over the border. So the idea of catching things from the wild continuously, we've seen this from catching fish in our fisheries, unless they're very, very carefully managed. And even then, there's a possibility that we're going to deplete those wild populations. If you keep taking things out of the environment and not putting anything back, you're in trouble. The thing about farming, it's really in its infancy right now. Most people are farming crickets, mealworms, maybe a thing called a little caterpillar called the waxworm. And there really hasn't been a lot of science put into the the selective breeding or sort of the GMOs, genetically modified organisms. So it hasn't been much of a problem. But as we move into the future, I think we're going to have to be careful about how we farm those animals so we don't create problems like we have with crops.
That's David George Gordon with us this evening, also known as The Bug Chef. Now, he's the author of the Eat a Bug Cookbook, which includes recipes and how-tos for cooking bugs. We'll continue our conversation after these messages. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Break from monotony. BFM 89.9.
Good evening. You're with Caroline Oh here in the Evening Edition. And our guest for today is David George Gordon. He's also known as The Bug Chef and is the celebrated author of a book of recipes on insect cuisine called The Eat a Bug Cookbook. Delicious stuff. Now, he's talking to us all the way from Seattle about why we should consider having insects in our regular diet. So, David, a while ago, we talked about how it is traditionally common in many cultures around the world to eat insects. Archaeologists have also found that humans have been entomologists since prehistoric times. So why do you think a lot of people today can't even stand the idea of eating bugs as food?
It's sort of, you know, what it comes down to is at one time our people were all hunters and gatherers of food. They'd go out into the woods and they'd find what they could to eat. And of course, insects were a large part of that. When we started looking more in large-scale agriculture, like raising cattle or wheat or things like that, all of a sudden bugs are a nuisance and a problem. You know, they bother our cattle. They can actually eat a lot of our grains and things like that. So now insects became the enemy instead of being a food group, and people stopped eating them probably because of that. You know, they say that insects are the only animals on our planet that are in direct competition with people for food. So the idea of wiping them out sounds like a great idea. It's actually a terrible idea because we need a lot of these creatures for things like pollinating our plants and for breaking down the waste, the dead animals and things like, and leaves and things like that. And also as food for lots of other animals, everything from big jungle cats to really small lizards and frogs and even other insects. So if we didn't have insects, we'd be in serious trouble. For whatever reason, people have, in our culture, in the United States, Canada, Europe, people have really bad attitudes about bugs. Like I said, I think a lot of that is fear-mongering from the agricultural communities, but also the pest control industry. They make it look like if you have one bug in your house, you've got a serious problem. And because of that, people wind up with these really bad, oh, they're unclean, they're full of germs, you know, all these reasons to not like them, which is kind of ignorant, I think.
Well, I find it difficult to argue with that. And it's in developing societies that the practice of eating insects have increasingly decreased.
Yeah, and it's actually kind of frustrating for us because I see a lot of people, they're kind of adopting the food tastes of Westerners. You know, they all want McDonald's or Colonel Sanders' Kentucky Fried Chicken there. And they're foregoing a lot of their traditional foods because of that. This is especially true in villages in Africa. And those people could really benefit from eating the protein and the amino acids in bugs if they were more into their traditional diets.
So, David, so that we're all a little less ignorant, why don't you tell us a little bit about the nutritional value of bugs as food?
Oh, you know, bugs are kind of a superfood in a way. Things like grasshoppers or crickets, they're very rich in protein. They say almost equivalent pound for pound with things like lean ground beef. So you're getting lots of protein there. You also get lots of vitamins and minerals. Crickets are really rich in calcium. Termites are really rich in zinc, for example. And you also get a broader spectrum of what are known as amino acids. Those are the basic building blocks of our bodies, and we need all of the amino acid groups to grow healthy. If you only eat, for example, in Mexico and South America, where they're very dependent on corn, they're not getting the amino acid lysine. It's not in the corn itself. If they eat the bugs that are around with the corn, now they're getting lysine, and they have a more balanced diet. the bugs also have what are called omega-3 fatty acids. These are antioxidants. Those are good foods to have. And normally we find those in things like salmon or ocean-going fish. So, you know, it's a lot easier to find a pound of bugs than it is to find a pound of salmon to put on your plate. And that's a great source of those antioxidants.
Right. Well, that's quite a surprising thing to find out. So, David, you're a veteran. You've been cooking and tasting a variety of insects for 18 years. What do they taste like?
Oh, you know, it's very difficult to describe food. Everyone in my culture says, oh, it tastes like chicken. But what does chicken taste like, really? It's hard to quantify that. I'd say a lot of the insects that I eat have very mild seafood-like flavors. Getting back to crickets again, they taste a little bit like shrimp chips. So that's a good thing. The scorpions that I cook taste a little bit like crab meat. There's nice white meat inside of them. Same thing is true with tarantula spiders. If you eat their legs, you know, meat is basically muscle. That's what we're eating. So wherever you think there's muscle in the insects, that's probably where the best meat is. Grasshoppers, just to continue the thought here, I really like them a lot. If you just cook them over a grill, they have almost taste like green peppers. They have a very vegetable-like taste. It's also funny to note that we eat with our eyes as well as our stomachs. So things have to look good to us before we'll try them. And because people have these bad attitudes about bugs, looking at a grasshopper is not necessarily the equivalent of, you know, looking at a piece of chicken that you're going to eat on your plate. So there's a certain degree of concealment. A lot of people are now raising crickets, for example. They roast them, they grind them up into like a flour, and they add two other flours and baked goods and things like that so that people don't really realize they're even eating bugs, but they're getting all the benefits from it.
What did you say, cricket flour?
That's right. There's a lot of like smoothie recipes and things like that that are out there right now. If you go online, I'm sure you can, and look up cricket powder, you'll probably find about 7 or 8 different companies that are making that right now.
Okay, so David, what advice do you have for beginners who might struggle with the idea of eating bugs for food?
Yeah, you know, first of all, I have to say that we eat all sorts of weird foods in our regular diets, but we don't think they're weird because our parents or our grandparents cooked them. It's like those are called comfort foods. They remind us of when we were younger, eating foods, you know, that our parents gave us. And bugs are comfort foods for some parts of the world, but not necessarily for our own. So that's one thing we have to kind of, I don't know, man up to and get used to the fact that we're going to be eating something different here. Once we've gotten over that hurdle, I'd say start with things like crickets because they're so easy to obtain, even in places like pet stores where they sell live food for your animals, maybe your pet lizard or turtle. You can buy fairly healthy supplies of crickets and other insects right from those sources. So you don't have to go out looking around in the wild for your next meal. You can actually order those. Nowadays, if you go online, you can even find places where they're raising crickets organically for human consumption. So those are like recipe ready. They come in a package and they're good to go. Because crickets are raised domestically, you can get different sizes of them. And I like cooking with the smaller ones rather than the adults. They don't have their wings yet, so they're less crunchy. And there's something about crickets, they kind of look cute. So we don't really have to get over that visual hurdle so much. Eating an enormous green caterpillar would be a visual hurdle, I think.
Okay, and what do you mean by organic crickets?
Oh, they are raised expressly for people to eat, but they're only fed organic vegetable scraps and things like that. Some places they feed all sorts of weird things to insects to grow them for fishing bait or for pet food. They might even be eating canned dog food. So these people are very meticulous about what they feed their insects.
Okay, so is it unsafe to pick up any bug we see around us to just cook and eat?
You know, I think the biggest danger about just grabbing insects from your surroundings is pesticides, because we put a lot of these garden chemicals out to kill the bugs rather than have them eating our crops. If the bugs have been eating those poisons and then we eat the bugs, we'd basically be poisoning ourselves. So if you are going to go out and harvest bugs from the wild, you really should make sure they come from areas far away from people, or that they've been raised expressly to be eaten.
Well, that's fair enough. So besides pesticides, what are some risks that we need to watch out for? I'm thinking about those insects that have venom, like bees, for example.
You know, I find that the venom is oftentimes, first of all, I should say, I'm a big advocate for cooking the bugs. You know, that's my book, a cookbook. So I don't think eating anything raw is a good idea, because you could get germs. You wouldn't want to eat raw chicken, for example. But cooking oftentimes, I think, neutralizes the venom. Venom is basically a protein, and when we cook it, it probably breaks that protein down. So it's not very effective. I noticed in China, for example, you can buy whole platefuls of scorpions with their stingers still attached. And that's not considered an obstacle to be eating that stinger and the venom gland that's attached to it. The thing that you should watch out for, a couple of things. One is that some people are allergic to insects. And the only reason they would know that, if they haven't been eating insects before, is those same people oftentimes are allergic to things like crabs or shrimp or lobsters. So if you have an allergy to shellfish, you might have an allergy to things like grasshoppers and scorpions and what have you. The last thing is that really brightly colored bugs, in the natural world, that's a signal to stay away from them, because they don't taste good, or they're, you know, they could be bitter, or they could even be poisonous. So if something like, if you think of a ladybug or a ladybird beetle, they're bright red with black spots. That's basically sign language in the animal world. Hey, leave me alone. If you think about it, and if you were a really tasty bug, you'd want to blend in. So you'd probably be green or black or brown to look like your surroundings. You wouldn't want to be, you know, bright yellow and white and black stripes like a lot of caterpillars are. So stay away from those really brightly colored bugs and you should be good.
No colored bugs for me. So what do you recommend beginners start off with?
Yeah, you know, the UN report, the FAO report we're talking about earlier, they list a whole bunch of the most commonly eaten bugs in the world. And those include things like beetles, both the adults and their larvae, the youngsters, grubs, includes grasshoppers and crickets. A lot of caterpillars in South Africa, they eat a thing called the mopani worm. It's a real delicacy. And termites and ants are also very popular. So those are the big things to start out by looking for, I find.
David George Gordon with us this evening. He's the author of the Eat a Bug Cookbook. After the news, David and I will be speaking about local delights here in Malaysia. Stay tuned. This is the Evening Edition on BFM 89.9.
Business, finance, and music. BFM 89.9.
Good evening. You're on the Evening Edition with Caroline Oh, and today we're talking about eating insects as food. I'm speaking with David George Gordon. He's the celebrated bug chef, also known as the godfather of insect cuisine, a very fancy title there. And he's the author of the Eat a Bug Cookbook.
I'd love to have someone who's listening to your show invite me to Kuala Lumpur to do some cooking demonstrations. I was there a long time ago and I really enjoyed it. I was amazed when I was there how many different kinds of insects people were selling, you know, mounted preserved insects as things to hang on your walls. You know, in Malaysia, there's a real delicacy. It has lots of different names. It's either called a sago worm or a palm weevil. These are really big grubs of a beetle. So they're really big. They're about, I'm going to say, about 2 inches long. They're kind of ivory colored. And that's a traditional food in Malaysia. People actually hack down old trees that are infested with these palm weevils. and take out the palm weevils and cook them. And they're supposed to be very delicious. Because they're a pest, because they actually eat the palm trees, you can't import them into the United States. So I'm always thinking I need to go somewhere where I can find those and try them myself.
I'm sure that insects are not vegan, but will you consider them to be vegetarian friendly, considering the fact that many vegetarians do eat eggs and, say, dairy products?
Well, unfortunately, they're not really vegetables. So they get, if you were a strict vegetarian, they would get ruled out because they're animal sources of protein. But I think a lot of people feel like if you're eating lower on the food chain, then eating insects is probably a good thing. The same way that there are vegetarians out there who will eat fish. So I read once that in Japan, way a long time ago, before Buddhism was popular, people ate all sorts of animals. And then when Buddhism came in, there's this practice of not harming animals. Then people started eating insects. That was considered a good thing, as opposed to eating a cow or a pig. So yeah, I think you're eating lower on the food chain when you eat insects.
Yeah, well, fair enough. So it all boils down to your personal reasons for your food choices then.
That's right. I think most people that I talk to, and I should say I went to a conference not that long ago in Detroit. There were 100 and some people there. Many of them were cricket farmers or people who make insect products. Most people are motivated, the vast majority of people are motivated because of the environmental benefits. A lot of people also like to eat them just out of curiosity or because so many other cultures around the world do. Someone just recently mailed me about a pound of Chapulines grasshoppers, and I have a little bowl of them out all the time. They're really kind of great snacks. So taste should certainly be a reason, too.
So, David, tell us a little bit more about your book. I mean, what was it like to come up with your recipes in your cookbook?
You know, it's funny. When I first approached a publisher, 10 Speed Press, about publishing my cookbook, they said, well, that's great, but we need to see proof that you have 25 recipes or more, because that's what goes into a cookbook. And I just started writing down all the recipes I could think of. Some of them were kind of silly, like I have a recipe for pesto. So there's kind of a lot of puns in there. But after I signed my contract, I realized, well, that's great. Now I have to write this book. And I experimented for about a year. It took a long time, longer than I would have thought, to come up with these recipes. Now, when I worked on the recipes, I also looked at a lot of books that talked about cultures around the world that did eat insects. Indonesia, for example, where they catch dragonflies and cook them in coconut milk. So that gave me some clues about where I should be going with my recipes, kind of to cook them like the other cultures did. But there was a lot of experimentation in my kitchen, and it became a soft spot in my daughter's mind. She was at about, 9 or 10 years old at the time, and she was an ethical vegetarian. She did not think that you should be harming animals to eat. So she'd come into the kitchen when I was done, sort of do the white glove test, and go around looking for that last little antenna or leg that I had left behind and complain about it. So I had a lot of kind of a quality control going on in my own household. After all of this, though, what's so funny, I mentioned earlier how we tend to eat with our eyes as well as our stomachs. And after all of these different recipes I was trying, I actually got to a place where I started cooking these, what are called tomato hornworms. They're really large, maybe 3-inch long caterpillars, bright green, and they eat tomato. They eat the leaves of tomato plants. Once I started cooking with them, I could feel my stomach going, really? Are you really going to eat that? So after all these different recipes, we'd already worked our way through scorpions and tarantula spiders and grasshoppers and crickets. We got to the tomato hornworms, and my stomach just thought, wait a minute, guy, this is going to make you sick. Of course, it did not. They're actually quite tasty.
Okay, so tell us, so for your daughter, is she now a fan of your insect cuisine?
Well, I have to say a really funny turning point for her. This is a good story. when she turned about 16. Now, of course, she is a teenager, and there was a contest on our local radio station that if you would do something unusual on the radio show, you could win tickets to meet the band Radiohead. So she was very excited, and one morning I woke up and I could hear her on the phone, and she's saying, well, I could eat a scorpion or a grasshopper. And I was like, I must be dreaming. I can't believe I'm hearing this. And yes, she did wind up going on the station, eating the bugs, and then going to brunch with Radiohead. So now she likes that book.
that's absolutely brilliant. It's David George Gordon with us. He's the author of the Eat a Bug Cookbook. And after this, David will be sharing some simple recipes with us for beginners. This is the Evening Edition on BFM 89.9.
Break from mediocrity. BFM 89.9.
Good evening, you're with Caroline Oh here on the Evening Edition. I'm speaking with David George Gordon. He's widely known as the Bug Chef and has written a cookbook of insect dishes. It's called the Eat a Bug Cookbook. Today, David is sharing a couple of recipes with us for a quick buggy delight.
The recipe I would suggest people start with, because it's quite tasty and fairly easy to make, it's called Orthopteran Orzo. And Orthoptera is the large group of insects that includes things like grasshoppers and crickets and katydids and locusts. And you take small crickets. I like to get like four-week-old crickets. They're the nymphs. They don't really have their wings yet. And freeze them and then defrost them. So they're pretty much ready to cook with. Freezing kills them, of course. I combine that with orzo pasta. That's a very small pasta that actually looks like rice. I think orzo, the word itself, is Italian for barley. So if you take the crickets, maybe a little bit of onion, some green bell pepper or red bell pepper, and saute that in the pan with some butter, and then add the orzo after it's been cooked, so it's now ready to go pasta, and mix that all together, and very, very lightly season it. Maybe add some parsley, some salt and pepper, a little bit of garlic if you want. But, you know, basically I want people to be able to taste the bugs. I don't want to season any of my dishes so much that we can't taste the insects anymore. Once you've done that, it really only takes about 2 minutes to mix everything together, and you have a really nice warm cricket salad from that. That's an easy recipe. On the other hand, something more difficult, if you take a tarantula spider, fairly large, and freeze it so it's no longer alive, remove the abdomen, this is basically a fluid-filled sac, and then singe off all of its hairs, because, you know, tarantulas are very hairy. So take like a small, cigarette lighter or creme brulee torch, and you can actually burn off all those little hairs. Then what I like to do is dip that in tempura batter. You know, that's a Japanese batter for things like seafood or fish, but also for vegetables. And then deep fry that. After it's deep fried, I take it out, I drain it, put a little bit of smoked paprika on there. Again, a very little bit. And that's good to go too. Quite delicious.
All right. Well, I'm just going to have to take your word for it. But David, before we wrap things up, tell me, what's next for you? How would you like to convince more people to add? Because I don't know whether those recipes did it. I have to be honest. But how would you like to convince more people to add insects to their diets?
I've recently started putting a lot of my energy into cooking for, what would we say here, celebrities, wealthier people, people who are more likely to go for the gourmet aspect of eating insects and think it's kind of a trendy and fun thing to do. And my theory is, if I can get people like that involved, then people who are not celebrities or not wealthy are going to want to be like those people and eat like those people. This is what happened with sushi, for example. It started out in the United States as a very expensive luxury item. And now you can go to a grocery store and get really inexpensive sushi. It's not very good, but it started as a trend for people who had money. Well, I do want to say that among young people, eating insects currently is a very popular activity in the United States. And a lot of college students, once they graduate from college or even while they're in college, might have startup companies processing crickets or making those cricket energy bars and things like that. Right now, there's lots of, I've actually lost track of how many companies are doing that right now, but mostly among young people. You know, part of the thing that I've seen just over the last 18 years that I find really interesting is what we call the rise in foodie culture, that there are people who are foodies, they are epicures, and they like unusual foods. When I wrote my book, there weren't shows like Anthony Bourdain's adventure cooking shows or bizarre foods or any of those things on TV. Nowadays, there's all sorts of experimentation going on, particularly among younger people. So I think it's a trend that's likely to grow and catch on with the rest of the world, as long as we keep giving people the opportunity to try new foods.
David George Gordon, also known as The Bug Chef, the author of the Eat a Bug Cookbook. We've come to the end of our show today about eating bugs. And if you've missed any part of the program, you can download the podcast on our website. That's www.bfm.my. Thanks for tuning in. This is Caroline O for the Evening Edition here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.